we're talking about marriage and seven foundations of a healthy marriage. And why we're talking about this is because the culture that we live in makes Christianity a weird kind of thing. And the Bible plainly lets us know if you're going to succeed in life, if you're going to have long-lasting success financially, in your relationships, God designed the whole thing. God is a loving God who gave us an instruction manual called the Bible. And that's what the Bible is. And that's why we come to church. We come to church to learn how to live God's way. We're Christians, we're believers, and so we want to live God's way. We want to live the victorious life that God has for us. And God lets us know through the scriptures, there's no other way but his way. Are y'all listening to me? And so it is my job, it's incumbent upon me as a pastor to teach from the Bible. Of course, many people get offended, and it's never my intention to offend people with what the scriptures say. And typically what happens when we're offended by the scriptures is that we've been so discipled and conditioned by the world that the word sounds foreign. And so we have, as believers, have to be discipled by the word and by Christ and not by the culture and the world. So and so if it sounds strange, things like marriage not having sex before marriage, it's because that's the Bible way and not the culture's way. Can you say amen right there? Amen. All right, so we're talking about these seven foundations of a healthy marriage relationship. And so we started last week, and the premise, the scripture that we took it from or based our foundation was in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about these storms are coming in life to every home, but he says if you'll build your house on the rock, on a firm foundation, that your house will stand, not only stand, but thrive through all the storms of life. If you've been alive for any period of time, you'll find out that life will offer you some unexpected storms, some things you're not planning in life. And so what we're doing is just covering some of these foundations that Jesus talked about and the Bible talks about. If we'll build these things strong, we'll be able to stand the test of time, the storms of life, and be able to not only just survive, but to thrive in life. How many of y'all want to thrive in life? Want to live an overcoming, victorious life? We all do, and that's why we're here, and that's why we're talking about this. So last week, we started these seven foundations, and if you'll put my diagram up there, do you mind if y'all will in the back? Make some noise for them in the back there. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Brooke, Siva, everybody back there. These seven foundations, we're going to talk over the next several weeks about these foundations, but I just want to show you this diagram based on Matthew, where Jesus said, build your house on a rock. I want you to know that all seven of these foundations that we're going to talk about, that God has to be intertwined in them. The Bible says, if God doesn't build the house, they that labor in vain. And so that's what we're talking about, building the house God's way. And so that's why I have God being the whole house. He has to be in each of these seven foundations. And he's your security and trust in a marriage and in a family is built on God's way. Communication has to be done God's way. Forgiveness done God's way. Finances God's way. Do y'all get what I'm saying right there? And so the first foundation that we covered was last week, and I believe it is the most important foundation for a marriage relationship and for a family, and that is security and trust. Be sure and log on if you weren't able to be here last week, because if you don't have security and trust in your relationship, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Amen? And so last week, just real quickly, we said that security and trust in marriage are the result of a shared commitment and shared understanding of the marriage relationship. The husband and spouse have to have the equal and shared commitment and equal understanding. We've got to make sure that we understand what we're going into and that we both see it the same way. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And when it comes to security and trust, if security and trust are violated in a relationship, the relationship's going to crumble and fail. And so we said security, I'm just going to review this real quick and then we're moving on. Security is the assurance that my spouse will love and value me for a lifetime. Not till trouble comes, but it's an upfront commitment that we make that we're assuring each other, this is our vows that we've made, that my spouse will love me and value me for the rest of my life, for my whole lifetime, till death do us part. More plainly, that means a knowing and constant awareness that whatever problems we face, with God's help, we will overcome. This is how you go into a marriage relationship. And if you're dating or if you're engaged, you've got to know this. Whatever we're going to face, don't go into a marriage relationship thinking you're not going to have problems. You are going to have problems. It's naive to think that you're not. But what wisdom and what real security is based on, with God in the center of our relationship, we're going to overcome every battle we come against. Every financial challenge, every issue in sickness, in health, every challenge we come in with children, we're going to overcome in this with God's help. Can you say amen? And that's where security is built. Trust enables a husband and a wife to enjoy a relationship characterized by openness and transparency, with no secrets or locked rooms, passwords, accounts that are kept off limits to each other. The key to trust is transparency. No secrets. Are y'all with me? And that's what we gave a lot of detail to that last week. Get online and catch that. It is very, very important if you're going to build a trusting relationship. Amen. Number two, today we're going to talk about what I believe is one of the most difficult issues in marriage. If it is the foundation for gaining security. In other words, if you're going to have security and trust in a relationship, you're going to have to communicate that. Your words are going to have to support security and trust. You can't say things like, if you do that again, I'm out of here. Gain 10 more pounds and I'm through. You can't say things like that and build trust. Come on, somebody. Your words have to be congruent with God's word. We're going to build trust. I'm with you forever, baby. I've got your back regardless what happens. Come on. And with your words, with your children, you have to have trust and security in the relationship. And the key is how we communicate. Most of the problems that I see in marriage relationships that end up in my office, they have a communication problem. They came together and they were in love. We married them. But then not long after, they have a challenge in either money, sex, but typically the bottom line is they're just not communicating well. And so today I want to really simplify this. You can take all kinds of courses, and I encourage you to do that, read all kinds of books. But today I really want to simplify it. I think, and I've read just about every book there is on Christian communication, and let me say that to do marriage right, the only way to do it right is God's way. The world there is no worldly wisdom that will cause you to succeed in the things of God. God formed and created marriage. He's the one that's going to have to tell us how it works. Are y'all with me? And the same with sex. God created sex. You can't go to the world to find out how sex works for a married couple. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so communication. We want to go to the scriptures and find out about it, all right? First of all, let me say this, that communication, you've got to make time for uninterrupted communication in your family. You've got to make time for it. In the culture that we live in, it's very difficult to make time for stuff. I ask couples, and Shanae and I, always when we're doing our pre-marriage counseling, the thing that we always say is, whatever it is that got you two together is what it's going to take to keep you two together. Your date night, you've got to have some kind of time on a regular basis. I advise a weekly basis, have some set aside time for you and your spouse. Now, when you were dating, this was easy. Come on, somebody. You know when you was chasing her. Come on. You know you was blowing up his phone all the time at work. All the time. Come on. I remember driving or doing anything to go and be with the one you want to be with, taking measures to do it. You're going to have to still do that. We advise couples, please have a date night. I love it on Facebook. I love seeing the couples like Dana and Jack and Bobby and Enda and Rhonda and Joe. So many of the couples in the Shaws going out and having family time together, going and spending time where you have quality time to talk. And that's necessary. And whatever it is that you're doing when you're dating, come on, somebody, you're going to have that kind of same chase, that same kind of fun after you get married. Come on, somebody. Now, the key to this, though, is that men and women communicate differently because they're different. Have y'all figured this out? The world takes offense to this, but God made men and women differently. Praise the Lord. But they also, we communicate differently. you know, scientists and experts say that women speak about 25,000 words a day, where men speak about 10,000 words a day. So typically when the husband gets home from work, he's tired. His words have been spent. But she got a whole bunch more words still to go. So you have to learn. You have to practice these things. These things will not happen automatically for most people. You have to learn how to communicate, how to talk. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. Are y'all with me? The first advice is communicate like you did before you were married. Can anybody ever have a hard time hanging up on the phone? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You hang up first. Today and I would just fall asleep on the phone. Just, hello, you still there? Yeah, I'm still here. You hang up. We'd just be sitting up all night talking on the phone. Come on, somebody. And just casual conversation. And I have found the more casual conversation, the easier casual conversation is, the easier it is to have crucial conversation. If you're not regularly flowing with casual conversation about your day, about how you look, about just small talk throughout the day, if you can't have small talk, there's no way you can have critical, crucial conversations, and they are necessary. You're going to have some crucial conversations with your children. You'll have to have crucial conversations with each other, but small talk helps you get into that. If you don't ever talk, have y'all seen couples? Janae and I go out to dinner every Friday and usually hang out, and we look around at the couples, and you just see them sitting there. I'm like, how do you sit there at the dinner and don't say a word? You get what I'm saying? Well, it's going to be a rough conversation when you have to talk about some serious issues if y'all can't talk about the weather, about having fun, about the movie, about your show, or whatever it is. Y'all listen to me. So you got to talk like you did before you were married. Now, I'm going to give you four key elements in effective communication today. Four key elements. We're going to take it from the Bible, all right? They're very simple. Very simple, but very difficult to do. Watch this. For most people, watch this. Number one is talking. Talking. You say, what, Pastor? You hear the laughs? But I found that many people don't know how to talk. They fuss. They talk down to. They vent. They complain. But they don't ever converse. They don't talk. Number two, listening. There's a parable on your face. Two ears, one mouth. Two eyes, one mouth. Why? Watch, hear, observe before you talk. Listen and watch twice as much as you talk. Come on, somebody. Number three, feedback. This is a very difficult one. We're going to see all this in the scriptures, though. And number four, honesty. The Bible talks about these four things in great detail. Let's jump to it. Let's see how far we can get today. All right, y'all with me? All right, talking. Number one, what is talking? First of all, let's look at what the Bible says about talking. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Don't y'all love the Bible? This is awesome because in your family, in your church, in your business, you're going to have to learn to talk. Watch what the Bible says, what Paul says about talking. He says, when I was a child, I did what? I talked like a child. He's giving us the characteristics of immaturity here. Talking is the characteristic that he relates to immaturity. He said, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. Why did I talk like a child? Because my thoughts were childish. And why were my thoughts childish? Because I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. I love here that he first characterized manhood with how you talk. And this is what I find with counseling hundreds and hundreds of couples. We have found that many people never learn to talk. They talk at each other. They talk down to each other. They talk in condescending ways. But they never converse as equals and really share and exchange thoughts. Here's a definition for talking. Talking is expressing or exchanging ideas, thoughts, and feelings by means of spoken words. Are y'all with me? Talking is expressing and exchanging ideas, thoughts, and feelings, really from the heart, by means of spoken words. the Bible says a lot about it, but the first thing we've got to understand is the Bible says it's immaturity that doesn't enable us to talk. Now think about it just for a second. And I always have to reveal myself because sometimes I become Baby Lee. Where you just become childish. You get mad. Come on, somebody. Get mad at stuff, and it's easy just to shut down and not talk. And it's really childish. Have y'all ever looked at your kids in the back of the car when they're little? Come on, somebody. Hitting each other, hitting, fussing, grabbing stuff, doing all kinds of childish stuff just like adults do. Come on, somebody. Fussing, doing all kinds of silly stuff. When it's adults that say, hold on. You hurt my feelings when you said that. When you can just talk about it. But typically, when our feelings get hurt, we get in all in our feelings, and then we don't want to talk. But the mature thing, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child, but when I became a man, I put away all that childish stuff. I put that away and began to talk like a man. Come on, somebody. This is very difficult to do in the moment. You have to think about this when you come into those moments, when you're in offense, when you're, and I'm talking about with your family. Are y'all with me? All right, let's move on. And let me show you what the scriptures say. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to look at verse 25 through 27 in the New King James. Then I'm going to jump to the Amplified Bible in verse 29. Watch what Paul says here. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. You can be with your family too. For we are members of one another. He says, first of all, we've got to learn to speak the truth. Speak the truth. Now there's, and we're going to get to that in a minute. All right, go to the next one. Be angry. He says, yeah, be angry and do not sin. So there are things that are going to make you angry. Have y'all figured that out with your family? There's some stuff. Hold on, let me wait for the rest of y'all. Get that lion spirit off of you. Yes. Don't worry, they're sitting right next to you. They make you mad and you make them mad too. Both of y'all be getting on each other's nerves at times. Not all the time, but he says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't start punching and start calling names. Watch what he says. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I love this right here because he says, listen, all of us get angry. Just don't let it go over into sin. And how you're going to help that to not happen is don't go to bed with that. Right. Now watch. You may not be able to clearly resolve the issue, but you can say, listen here. Let's talk about this tomorrow. Let's not go to bed angry about it. Yes, my feelings were hurt. Maybe your feelings were hurt. I'm sorry for that. But let's talk about this. We'll resolve this tomorrow. But let's not go to bed all angry. That's what adults do. That's what maturity does. Come on, somebody. Have you found this out about your kids? Oh, they can be fighting, but then 10 minutes later, they're laughing and joking and eating each other's food. Adults hang on to it. They hang on to it, let it linger until the next day. And then what happens, and notice what the Bible says, that the devil, here, let me see, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Look at the next one. Nor give place to the devil. The devil gets in your thoughts while you're laying in your bed on this side of the bed getting ready to fall off, and they're on this side of the bed getting ready to fall off, jerking the sheets, jerking the covers. And you won't give them the pleasure of touching you. We've all been there just acting like kids, right? But the devil loves it because he says, yeah, why don't you go to sleep on that so I can plant some thoughts in your mind. Keep planting thoughts. And you wake up and that thing is now, come on somebody, it's turned into some cancer that has gotten worse. Now you're ready to poison them and be on 48 hours. Sitting there eating like, uh-oh. I'm not hungry. Come on somebody. Y'all listening to me? And so the Bible says, now watch y'all, that's very difficult to do. It's very mature though to say, hey, look, we have a disagreement about this. Maybe I said some things that I shouldn't have said. I am sorry. Listen, I love you. But we'll resolve this tomorrow. Maybe we can talk better about it after I think about it. That kind of thing. Are y'all with me? Oftentimes you try to handle stuff in the heat of the moment, it can turn real bad. But you can't go to bed with peace. Come on, somebody. Have y'all noticed this? If you just give a hug and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I give a kiss and just hug and say, we're going to be all right. We're going to work this out. Come on, somebody. Wasn't that our commitment? Our shared commitment was anything that comes our way, we're going to resolve it with God's help. Come on, somebody. It'll make life easier right there. Come on. Now watch this. So, read on. Go to verse 29 for me, please. Now I'm going to read in the Amplified. Let no foul or polluting language, don't cuss them out, call them names, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. Worthless talk, just saying crazy stuff. But only, watch what he says, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give what? Grace, God's favor to those who hear it. So even in the heat of the moment, what is he talking about? He's talking about when we have a contention, when we have an issue. The Bible does say all contention is the result of pride. What typically happens is someone's pride gets in the way and they can't bow down and say, hey, look, I was wrong in that. I could be wrong. I may have been off on that. I'm sorry. It's so much easier to overcome issues if both come and say, hey, I could be wrong in this. Even when you know, have you ever been, just knew you was right, but then you found out you was wrong? Has anybody, I'm the only one. Don't make me come out there. I'm going to have to cast the devil out of everybody in this church. Have you been sincerely wrong before? I'm going to wait for y'all in the back. Y'all liars back. Okay, thank you, baby. Hit that person right behind you. My mic must not be on back there. We all have been. Have you found out that you're human and you can be wrong? Shanae, we'd be watching a movie and she said, that's so-and-so, so-and-so. I said, no, it isn't. Well, who is it? I don't know who it is, but it ain't John Wayne. Yes, it is. No, it's not. I know it's it. And then, unfortunately, now, you know, we got the information highway right here. Boom, boom, boom. I'm waiting. You pulled your phone out at the movie. Who is it? Come on. And I'm usually wrong most of the time. Come on, somebody. I figured that out. Amen. So we all can be sincerely wrong. It's much easier as adults and particularly married people, because you're going to find out there's this power in unity. And if we can come to an agreement, we can overcome every situation. Watch this. Where was I? Okay. And watch what he says here. First of all, he says, don't be fussing and cussing out each other. But then he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend. Y'all, we've had some crazy stuff happen in our office. We had it. We come in. You know what I'm saying? They get married and they're all happy. Then a few years or a year later, punching each other, never ready to knock each other out. We mentioned they've had to jump in between. Hey, stop. You can't be hitting each other. You get what I'm saying? And what happens is, legitimate feelings are hurt and stuff has gone on. You get what I'm saying? If we can stop it early on before it gets to that point. Are y'all with me? And so that's what we're gonna talk about. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Look at this next one. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? He said, with bitterness. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, slander, evil speaking, abusive. You think he's trying to cover every area here, huh? Blasphemous language be banished from you, with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. He says, stop being crazy. You're grown. And become, watch this, here's the key, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely, as God in Christ forgave you. You see how he brings everything in perspective? And really what the Bible's trying to get us to see here, we all make mistakes. We all say things we shouldn't say. We all sometimes speak before we think. Some of us, and we all have done some ill, whack stuff. He's saying, hold on. Before you start pointing fingers, think about how much Christ forgave you of. It'll humble you. Are you with me? Because it's pride that puts us in contention. But what'll bring us right back to humility is thinking, God, And he'll help you remember some crazy stuff, like, good God, Jesus. Yeah, you didn't even put me on blast for that. Excuse me, forgive me. I could be wrong about all this. Come on, somebody. And that's what the Bible's trying to get us to see here, all right? Here, let's go in a little bit deeper. So again, some of the stuff that that happens in not talking are things like venting. Venting is good as long as you don't, you know, it's good to say, hey, I just want to get this off my chest, but not running down another person. You know what I mean? And a lot of times women like to just get it out. Let's just say stuff. But not abusive things to other people. But it's, you know what I mean? Depending on your personality, sometimes you hold stuff in and hold stuff in, and then it just erupts and comes out. But shouting in anger is very dangerous. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. Verbal abuse or even the silent treatment. The silent treatment, this acquiesce. I'm just going to shut up. I'm going to punish you with my silence. They like... Have y'all seen this before or taken part in this? This verbal counterpunching. Have y'all seen that? Where one person says something and the other person didn't even really listen. They just getting ready for their punch. They sizing it up to throw back. Bam. And then they each start hitting each other below the belt and start hurting each other. And again, what the Bible is saying is these are very childish things. There's a way to resolve these issues and help build each other rather than tear each other down. Are y'all with me? And it can be done. Say, yes, we can. Yes, we can talk and communicate like adults versus fighting. Watch this. Look over at Proverbs. Okay, y'all get all that? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 21. I have found something very interesting. You can say something one way and it gives a whole different meaning just in how you say it. Justin, how you ain't take out that trash yet? Versus, hey, would you take out the trash? Would you mind taking out the trash? And look what the Bible says about this. The wise in heart will be called prudent. Look what's connected to it. And sweetness of the lips increases learning. If you'll learn to say things the right way, it actually increases learning. Sometimes we think fussing and yelling and the louder we are increases the learning, when actually the sweeter you are increases the learning, according to God. And God says this is what prudence of heart is. Wisdom is learning to say that in the right way that causes change in learning. And actually in the Amplified Bible it says in the speaker and the hearer. The way you say it. So I like to say it like this. It's more important the tone, the tenor, the timing, and the texture of what you say. The tone is the way you say it. The way you say it. Would you mind taking out the garbage? Could you take out? And putting sweetness on it. In fact, this would usually take, before you say it, thinking about it. Think about it. You come in and you see the trash pouring all over the floor. Come on, somebody. It's pouring all over. It should have been empty like 2 days ago. You get what I'm saying? And they're still just throwing stuff at it. Right. Now, you want to light somebody up, right? You want to fuss and you want to scream. Or you just want to take it out yourself and not even deal with it. But that doesn't cause learning. What's going to cause learning is say it in a sweet way. Hey, you know, I noticed that the trash was dumping out. You probably missed it, but could the next time you go by, take out that trash? Now that's going to take some real constraint on your part. Come on, parents. Come on, wives. How many is it the men's responsibility to handle all that kind of stuff? And is it men in here? Okay, yes, yes, yes. How many of y'all have overlooked it on occasion, just missed it? Yeah, we've all made those kind of mistakes. And wouldn't it be more effective for the spouse to say, hey, would you mind, versus you missed that. I tripped over the trash, almost slipped on a banana peel and broke my neck because you didn't take out the trash. Have you ever told your kids to do something and they're mad about it and they leave a trail of trash the whole way? Rip the bag and just, come on, somebody. So the tone in which, and again, this is going to take practice. It's going to take you thinking before you speak. And then the tenor, what is said? when you say these absolutes like you never do this, you never do that, that's not true. Saying names and speaking down to people. If you say, call them names in the middle of it, well, you always, you know, adding what you say. Be careful the words that you add into it. The tenor of what you're saying. Are y'all with me? How about the timing? Timing is really important. When somebody just walks in the door from work, get a feel for how the day was first before you start rattling off what needs to get done. You get what I'm saying? You have to think about the timing first before you just go, you know. Usually, and this is why sometimes after church, it's dangerous for me to just walk out and start talking to everybody. I want to, but I'm liable to say anything crazy because I'm just tired. I'm spent. You get what I'm saying? We get here really early, and I'm studying yesterday. It's been some long days. So occasionally somebody, and you know, from here to that room, a bunch of crazy stuff be said to me. I don't know if y'all don't know that, but people be saying some crazy, you know what I'm saying? Just like when you're watching on TV and you see the football player, you see somebody on TV, you think you could just say, well, if I was them, I'd have done this. Like, well, you're not them, and you can't do what they do. Well, people say, and listen, don't take offense by that, but I'm ready for it. It's good. But I have to be sure and think before I answer some of your crazy questions. I've had people do stuff to come up to my wife and say, is that your hair? And put their hand in her hair. Now, I want to just punch them, but I just. Yes, that's all of her hair. And I don't have anything against weave. Come on, somebody. If she didn't have any hair, I'd be buying weave. But you get what I'm saying? People just do stuff. And I go, okay, praise the Lord. And say all kinds of crazy stuff. Praise the Lord. Could you come by my house and pray for my dog? Call the office. I get out of all of it just by calling the office. Tell them to tell you. Get it. They're calm, and I can praise the Lord. All right? All right. So timing is vitally important. Shanae is really good at this. She's learned. It's been time to learn these kind of things. And I've learned some of her timing too. She has long days. We both have long days. But sometimes right after church, I'd be coming home and she'd be like, hey, well, that's how they're doing. I'm like, whoa, can you turn all that way down just for a little while? Let me unwind a little bit before we start hitting me with what's gonna happen at the meeting tomorrow. Where we gonna just go? I'm hoping I can just make it home without passing out and falling asleep. Y'all get what I'm saying? Timing. Texture, body language. Have y'all seen people who can say words without saying them? And they don't even have to say the words because their body and their texture is just saying everything for them. And you really have to tone that down when you're having a conversation that is a crucial conversation particularly. And in their other conversations. The Bible's just telling us to be sweet when you're saying things. Be nice when you're saying things. Learn to say, and this is a huge lesson for me to learn. Learning how to, and I've really, really learned a lot about the script. Come on, somebody. Oh, I hear somebody in the front row saying, yeah. Okay, that's sounding a little bit weak right there. What's wrong with y'all? I'm just playing. Amen? So y'all listen, this is vitally important. Now watch, all these things I'm saying to you, they're gonna have to be practiced. You're gonna have to learn them. And as a couple, what you'll learn to do is talk to each other and help each other and say, well, we aren't to feedback yet, but you'll need feedback about these things because a lot of times we have blind spots and we don't even see how we are. Have y'all noticed you can't hardly smell your own bad breath? Somebody needs to tell you, but don't you want the open door in your spouse to say, I want to welcome you to tell me these things that are painful to you. If my breath is melting your makeup off, please tell me. I tell all my assistants, everybody, I say, hey, carry with you some breath mints. People ask me questions, but I've been drinking coffee, I've been breathing, I've been preaching all day. I don't want to kill him with my answer. Killing me softly with his. Come on, have you ever talked to somebody that just almost, oh, snap, never mind. Hallelujah. Tell me. So I know. Amen. All right. Okay. I don't know how I got to that one. All right, date night, date night. Y'all hear me talk about this, and you hear Shanae and I talk about it so often, but it is critical. It is, I believe, every couple, it doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have, take time. You say, Pastor, I ain't got no money. It don't cost any money to just go and sit somewhere alone. Take a walk in your neighborhood. Just walk. Drive through and see dream houses. Start dreaming together. You got to start having fun together. Start having fun. Start dreaming about your career. That's what Shanae and I did. When we didn't have anything, we would just walk and talk, drive and talk, look at neighborhoods that one day we'd like to live in. One day we'd like to do this. And now that day has come. Are y'all with me? But we had to start there dreaming together and building our lives together. And it's so much fun, but you have to make time for it. Amen? And I always, always, it's amazing to me that the people that come into our office with marriage problems, I ask them this, do y'all go out at night? Do y'all have a week? Well, no. Well, you used to. Well, you know, life. You have to make the adjustments. Marriage is a priority. You've got to take the time. Listen, your kids, yes, kids take time. But you've got to make time, even if it's at night. Put your kids on a schedule. If you got little kids, put them in bed by 7 or 7:30. You know what I'm talking about, the little ones? The little ones, put them in bed. So now your quiet time with your spouse may be from 7:30 on to 11 or whenever you go to sleep. But time where you can sit together, maybe watch your favorite show or eat your favorite snack or just hang out and talk. Y'all have to do that. Hit the person next to you and say, you've got to do that. You've got to do it. You've got the rest of your life to build a relationship. Your kids are going to grow up and move. They're going to go away. And if you haven't developed this conversation and this talk, it is so fun to talk to Shanae. I love talking to her. It's so fun. We talk. We reminisce about everything. We talk about how we met. Even like we'll have our, we go on about 4 vacations a year, and we take a couple vacations with our kids. But the ones that are by ourselves, we talk about every anniversary and every trip. And even on Friday night date, we'll sit there and try to remember, now, where have we been? Have we been to this place? And we'll talk about this. And it's just so funny. Even this week when we were in California, we'd been to California. Shanae used to live in San Diego. So we're talking the whole time. We drive from Los Angeles to San Diego. It's an hour and a half drive or so. The whole time we're talking about her days living in San Diego. What it does is casual talk knits your hearts together and makes it easier to have the crucial conversations. There's no secrets because we're talking all the time. Are y'all listening to me? Tell the person sitting next to you. So we got to learn to talk. Are y'all listening to me? All right, let's move on. Good gracious, that was just talk. Let's go on to listening. Can we get on to listen? Say date night. Y'all got to do it. You have to get a date night in order. All right? Listening. Let's talk about listening. Look over at James chapter 1. I may only make it through this one. We'll get to, and we'll cover the next two next time. All right? Listening. Turn over to James. How many of you learned about talking? Again, now this is going to be something you have to exercise and practice. Have to exercise and practice. Sit over coffee. Sit over whatever it is you like, however y'all get down. Y'all get what I'm saying? Whatever you sip, sip that and talk. Or eat that and talk, however you get it. You get it? Now, listening. Listening is so important. Listen, turn to James chapter 1 and verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. What often happens is we do the exact opposite. We're quick to speak, therefore we're quick to be angry and slow to listen. And the Bible talks so much about listening to each other. Watch this. Look over in your Bibles at Mark chapter 4, verse 23 through 25. How many of y'all appreciate this real practicality from the scriptures? Now watch y'all. When you go home, and for us it's Friday night, but it's every night before we go to bed. We're able to just sit and talk, just lay down and talk about stuff. Get up in the morning. Of course, Shanae and I work together all the time, so we're together pretty much 24 hours a day. Are you with me? So we have a lot of conversations, but it's made our relationship very, very, we're one. We're really one. I feel her pain, she feels mine, and so on and so forth. Watch this. Look at this. Mark chapter 4, verse 23. I'm going to read through 25, Amplified Version. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening. Just because you have ears doesn't mean you hear. So he's saying, let him be listening. You have to be, have to make a determination to listen. Have you ever noticed this? Have you ever been to a restaurant, and if you focus in, Sinead and I sit there sometimes, and we want to dip into somebody else's conversation, just hear what they're saying. And if you, and I mean, the whole crowd noise is going on, but if you stop and you focus, like right now, listen. Y'all hear the air conditioners? They're blowing all the time, but God has given us this ability to block out. If we weren't able to block out all the other noise, we'd never be able to function. But we have this ability to block out noise. We can have conversations in restaurants that are very loud and crowded and be able to hear each other because we're focusing. And what the Bible's saying is here, any man who has ears to hear, make sure that you're listening, though. Just because you have ears doesn't mean you're listening. And let him not only listen, first listen, but then second, perceive and comprehend. Understand what's being said. All right? So in this, what? And he said to them, be careful what you're hearing. Watch this. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Look at this next one. For to him who has what? Who has hearing, listening, more will be given, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. Of course, we know Jesus is talking about the word, but I think we can take this and use it for listening even to our spouse and to others. Are you with me? Jesus shares in this chapter a parable and shares a few parables, but he says the key to it is how you hear. And what he's showing us, even in this parable, in this lesson right here, is you have to be careful how you hear something. Do you know that even though I'm speaking and there's many people here listening, listening to me, that if I, when I go out into the hallway out there, people will repeat to me something I said and I didn't say it. I have it happen all the time. Hey, Pastor, well, you know, you said, and I was like, I ain't said that. But they heard that. And I find that people don't necessarily hear what you say. They hear through a filter of how their heart is. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach. You notice that? And so he gives this whole parable. So he's saying, here, be careful what you're actually hearing. Are you hearing what they said, or are you hearing what your heart said? Are you with me? And so the Bible tells us in this parable, can we go in? We'll cover that, and then we'll come back to this, the other two, next week. But watch this. Jesus, first of all, let me make sure we understand that he said, you have to choose to listen. You've got to choose to listen to your spouse. I remember Shanae and I came to this area in our marriage years ago, and she was saying, you're not hearing what I'm saying. And I said, baby, I hear what you're saying, but I didn't hear the heart of what she was saying. I didn't understand where she was coming from. I heard the words that she was saying, but I didn't understand what she was saying and how it was impacting her. So I wasn't really hearing her. I wasn't comprehending her. Are you with me? And so it took for me to come to comprehend what she was saying to get it and make the change that was necessary. Are y'all with me? And so that's what Jesus is saying. You got to, not just because you got those ears on your head, you got to make a determination to listen and then make a determination to understand what they're saying. All right? Watch this. The parable of the sower and the seed. That's exactly what that parable is. In Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, Jesus told about why the word has different impacts on people, and only certain ones will have fruit that bears over and over and over, some 60, some 30, some 100 fold. And he says, they're hearing the same word, but because of the condition of their heart, that word is being filtered through, some aren't receiving benefit of it. And he gives four scenarios, and I believe it's the same for every word that's spoken with our spouse and even with our children. Watch, look at the examples. The first example that he gave was, there were four scenarios, and the first one was the wayside hearer. And look at Matthew 13 and verse 19. Look at the characteristics of a heart that he gives the example here. He says, while anyone is hearing the word, let's just say the word of their spouse, and does not grasp or comprehend it. So they heard it, but they didn't understand it. Watch what happens. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This was that was sown along the wayside. So he's saying, if you don't get an understanding of what your spouse is communicating, and typically this can be in small talk or even in particularly in crucial talk. When you're having crucial conversations about, I mean, these are life-changing situations of finances, of health, of issues that your spouse may see that you can't see. And they're having this crucial conversation with you. And it's a loving conversation. But if you don't understand, the Bible says the devil will get in there and take away what they're saying. Are y'all with me? He calls that the wayside here. Wayside here means that they didn't take the time to comprehend what they're saying. All right? Go to the next one. The next one is the stony ground here. Look at and we've all had this happen. Watch this. Stony ground here in Mark chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Again, the Amplified Bible. Watch this. And in the same way, the ones sown on stony ground are those who, when they hear, let's say, the word of their spouse, at once receive and okay, babe, I'm going to fix that. I'm going to do that. Receive and welcome it with joy, but watch this. And they have no real root in themselves. If there's a person... Okay, Shanae has said this to me about her first marriage, that her husband never built her up in who she was. He was always putting her down with his words. And she never really found out who she really was and was built up in who she was. Her husband didn't build her up. Look what happens. Then when trouble or persecution arises on the account of those words, they immediately are what? Offended. Have you noticed with some people, whatever you say to them, they take offense? They get offended in it. And primarily it says, because they don't know who they are. Are you with me? Because you can say certain things to some people. I want to know if I'm getting fat. You're not going to offend me because I want to be my best. I mean, let me say that right. I don't mind my wife telling me that. Now, you know when you see your grandma and stuff, oh, you just get as fat as you want to be. You go, y'all notice that your grandparents, the filter is gone, right? It's like, they say what, come on, thank you over there. They say whatever they want to say. And typically, if you know who you are, you will still won't take offense in it because you realize, oh, that's just grandma. But when you don't, when you're insecure about who you are and there's weaknesses in your life, you usually take offense at that. You take offense at it. Isn't that right? But when you know who you really are, and you can say, yeah, shoot, me and Shanae have been eating like crazy, girl. We've been grubbing. We're going to have to get it in line here in a few weeks. You get what I'm saying? You know, you... Or whatever the case may be. What the Bible is saying here is, check the condition of your heart so you don't get into offense about something. Come on, somebody. They become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. And the relationship can become bad because we don't know who we are. Come on, somebody. All right. Let's move on to the next one, and we're going to be closing after these two here. Thorny ground here. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Is this helping y'all? Come on, somebody. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word of their spouse, for example, or the word of their parents. Then the cares and anxieties of the world, the distractions of the age, the pleasure and delight of false glamour, of deceitfulness of riches, the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. I like to equate this to your spouse is saying things, but you're listening to others saying things. You're listening to others. You get what I'm saying? Well, that don't matter nothing because so-and-so said that this is all right. Don't matter what so-and-so said. The Bible says it's you and your spouse that are one. And so we have to filter out a lot of the things that other people say. Don't go to your girlfriend or your parents about things. Talk to your spouse about things. Come on, somebody. What he does don't even know what he's talking about. See, because when, and they're single. please don't let your single friends tell you how to be married. Like, how's that working out for you, boo? Okay, keep your opinions to yourself. Or you can just listen and smile. That's what I do, just smile. And that's what Shanae and I are in conversations. I'll look at her, kick her under the table, and just say, and I'll smile like this, just say, just smile, baby. Just let it roll right off your back and smile. Yeah? All right? Just smile. Just keep a smile. All right, look at this last one. Look at this last one. Good ground hearer. You hear what it's saying? All these conditions are how we're hearing. How we're hearing. Don't hear it the wrong way. Don't hear it and get in offense about it. All right? Good ground here. Watch this. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. It says, but as for that seed that is, that the good, as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who hearing the word, or hearing the word of their spouse or their parents or their children, hold it fast. They hold on to that. Do you hear what he's saying? They hold on to that word, noble, virtuous, in a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruit with patience. I love this. Even though some your spouse may have understood you, give them time for change. Give them time. Learn to be patient. And particularly if a person's been doing something a certain way for a number of years. Their change may come, but it may be a gradual change. Don't be so quick to, hey, well, they need to do this and do that. Stop. Even your kids, give them time. Have y'all learned with kids, and we're going to get to child ring, but you've got to be repetitive, say the same thing over and over and over with sweet lips. Yes, there's times for discipline and all that stuff when they get rebellious and prideful and that kind of thing. But for the most part, kids, you just got to keep repeating the same things over and over. Have y'all found this out in marriage? You may have to keep repeating the same things over with patience and get it down in their heart and get it down in their heart. Close your Bible. So what are we going to do? We're going to practice talking and we're going to practice listening. We're going to practice talking, not yelling, not trying to jab punches, but let's talk about this. Hey, this hurt me. Can we talk about this? Usually men panic when you walk in the door and they say, hey, we need to talk. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. I just want to talk. Something doesn't always have to be wrong when they want to talk. Close your Bible. How many of y'all learned today? We'll dig in deeper next time. We got to talk about feedback. The Bible talks about feedback. Feedback is the most painful thing, but it's necessary. And Jesus wraps it up so nicely. Jesus, if you read in the book of Revelation, I'll give you a preview. Book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. Jesus tells the church about themselves. He says, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this, but I have one thing against you, this. But then at the end, he wraps it up with good. He puts the hard thing right in between the sweet and the sweet. It's wisdom. When you have to drop in medicine, have y'all to give your dog medicine or your cat medicine? Don't you wrap it up in some cheese or something they really like? Come on, somebody, cover it completely. We had a dog, he'd be smelling like, hold up. Y'all trying to trick me, ain't y'all? What y'all trying to do? He would. Close your Bible.